Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Gibson, joined today by the fabulous and oh so awesome Josh Clark.
Thank you, Candace, and let me say "ar" and ahoy to you.
Oh, that reminds me of a joke that I know.
Okay, yeah, what?
What do pirates drive?
What?
Cars.
That's great. You know, there's not enough pirate jokes these days.
No, but there's no shortage of pirates. I mean, we've got Johnny Depp and...
Sure, Keith Richards.
Yeah.
And Johnny Depp doing Keith Richards.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Depp pretending he's Keith Richards, which is totally different.
And then Johnny Depp recently played a musical instrument on stage somewhere, not under the guise of a pirate.
What musical instrument did he play?
A guitar.
Nice one. That's great. No. Well, you know, there's also some real-life pirates off the coast of Somalia is a strong haven for pirates these days. And actually, that's kind of been the way it's been for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Do you remember when we were doing the America's First Murderer podcast?
I do.
And we were saying, like, one of the cool things about America being such a young nation is we can point to the firsts, you know, like... We know who America's first murderer was, and
the first child born in America.
Sure, that kind of thing. Virginia Dare. First English child born in America was Virginia Dare.
Yes.
We should really make that
distinction.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Actually, we can point to America's first terrorist threat. We know exactly what it was. And, you know, in the world today, it's kind of a commonplace thing. We're always thinking about terrorism. It's always somewhere in the back of our mind, especially around, you know, September 11th, which is around the time we're recording this, right? But the terrorists of yore are kind of a different ilk than the ones we're running into today. Do you know much about the Barbary pirates?
I do. These guys were smart. They were class A extortionists. They essentially set up camp along the Barbary coast, and they had really, full reign over the Mediterranean, really. They were European ships that would make several routes back and forth between Europe and the East Indies, which is today the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And the Barbary pirates caught wind of this, and they're like, you know, these guys, they're wealthy. They have all these goods on board their ships. Why don't we kidnap them and plunder their goods.
They weren't the first ones to come up with the Barbary pirates were named after the Barbary Coast, which is the North African coast today, like Libya and Algiers and that kind of thing, Morocco. And the coast was named after the brothers Barbarossa, which was, I believe, Spanish for redbeards. It was the Spaniards who were getting attacked the most frequently. And these two brothers, the two Redbeard brothers, were actually Turks who came down to the coast of North Africa to assist the Moors. So anyway, these two Turkish brothers, the Redbeard brothers, the Barbarossa brothers, came down. They're helping the Moors get back at the Spanish by molesting ships, capturing people, enslaving them. And they started to make a lot of money doing this. But like I said, they weren't the first ones. The Mediterranean, especially in that area, had been the site of piracy for thousands of years by the time the Barbarossa brothers showed up. So that's the story of the Barbary Coast up to 1492.
Well, I stand corrected. I don't even know what to do with myself now. I'm so used to being a know-it-all.
So, not coincidentally, that year really begins the age of exploration to the New World. But like you said, by this time, all of Europe was going to the East Indies for hundreds of years by then, right? And as a result, all of Europe was under the thumb of these Barbary pirates. The thing is people kept giving tribute to them, kept paying them off, kept basically bribing these people to leave their country alone or leave ships from their country alone, but, you know, maybe harass other countries. I had heard, though, that it was actually your favorite president, Mr. Thomas Jefferson, who finally stood up to the Barbary pirates when no one else would. Is that fact or fiction?
That's fact.
Okay.
It is fact. TJ is my fave, and, you know, he had red hair, not to be confused with the red-bearded pirates.
No.
He was, you know, he was pretty ballsy, and America was a very young nation, but it had grown exponentially by this time, and so the Barbary pirates had been demanding tribute from American ships. And originally, it had been a more modest sum. I think that $80,000 had been the first amount actually built into the United States budget.
Yeah, so the U.S. was paying tribute like everybody else.
Right.
Because they were going through the Mediterranean as well to get to the East Indies, right?
Precisely.
Okay.
Well, that was 1784. Mm-hmm. But then by 1795, they were demanding $1 million.
What was the change?
Well, because the U.S. was getting bigger, and it was importing and exporting more and being more frequently on these trade routes. And at this point, Thomas Jefferson sort of took notice of the situation, and the U.S. had really good diplomatic relations with France. Ben Franklin had originally been the U.S. minister to France, and he had set up a treaty with France that said essentially, you know, you look out for the American sailors, we'll look out for the French sailors, everything, you know, tit for tat on the high seas against these pirates. And then Thomas Jefferson, when he was minister to France, when he was actually in Paris, you know, gathering ideas for the architecture of Monticello.
Sure.
He also started to think about, well, why can't we take the superpower of France and the growing strength of the U.S. and maybe reach out to England and see if we can form some sort of coalition against these pirates? But no one was on board. It was just him.
And I imagine England was still a little irked from, you know, the whole revolution and everything.
Yeah, pretty much. So finally, when Thomas Jefferson is elected the presidency, he has the ability to say at that point, okay, this is it. And it was perfect timing because at this point, the Barbary pirates had gotten some American sailors, and essentially they told the U.S., okay, we're going to release two. You are going to pay us this much money, and if you don't, we're going to war. And that was just the door that Thomas Jefferson was looking for. He was like, all right, we're going to war. It was that simple. So he sent his navy to the Mediterranean, and there were actually two sets of Barbary Wars that resulted from this. And the first that Thomas Jefferson waged, they were sort of uneventful. It was mostly sea battles, you know, maritime fighting. It went on for 4 years, and it ended with a treaty. And things were okay for a couple of years after that. I mean, I think that there was still some plundering and pillaging and raping and slave trading going on. But
Typical
pirate stuff. Anyway, in 1815, when James Monroe came along, there was a second set of Barbary Wars, and he was a little bit more, shall we say, assertive than Thomas Jefferson was.
Well, sure, he's the one who came up with the Monroe Doctrine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You wanna have at it with that?
That's the world police doctrine, pretty much, right? That the U.S. would serve as the police of the Western Hemisphere, as far as I know.
And that they did. And they gave it back to these pirates. It was like all those years of pent-up frustration of having American sailors kidnapped and having to dole out money finally just, you know.
It came to a head, did it?
It came to a head.
I understand. You know what I find striking, though, and I'd heard this before, that you said that a treaty ended the first Barbary War, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that was brokered by a diplomat that the U.S. actually had in one of the Barbary states. Don't you find it odd that we had diplomats like trying to broker peace deals stationed in these countries that were run by pirates?
You would think so, but I think that it was sort of no holds barred when it came to this piracy, because for so long we had been negotiating with pirates like they were businessmen. Mm-hmm. You know, there were sums worked out, there were tributes paid, there were, I think, some sort of backhanded deals waged against them in order to get the release of prisoners. And, you know, it wasn't unheard of for something like this to occur.
So this is like the original state-sponsored terrorism, huh?
Pretty much.
Wow. All right. Thanks, Candace. I get it now. And it is fact, you say?
Fact.
That's great. So I have a little fact of my own. You want to hear it?
Yeah, sure. I want to hear it.
So, you know the Marine hymn?
Yes.
You've heard it, you know, mm-hmm. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Yeah?
That's a nice baritone.
Thank you. That Shores of Tripoli was actually from the Barbary War. I think it was the second one. The Marines stormed Tripoli, Libya, and basically took care of business. So that's where that part of the first line of the Marines hymn comes from.
Who knew?
I did.
You did. And if you want to know even more about the Barbary Pirates, maybe even as much, if not more than Josh, you can read What Was America's First Terrorist Threat on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.